Amen, amen. Welcome, welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, we thank you that this morning as we gather together, we open up your word. We thank you, Lord, for ministering to each one of us. Lord, I thank you that you're cutting away the spirit of the world. Lord, you're lifting off worry and despair off of your people today. Thank you for our River of Life family that is gathered here. Thank you for our River of Life family that will be listening online. Lord God, I thank you that your arm is not short this morning, but Lord, it extends out to our River family and those friends and guests, Lord God, this morning that are joining in to hear the word of the Lord. Father God, stir us this morning. Teach us, Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see everyone. Amen. Smile at somebody. You got your mask off. They can see your pretty teeth. Smile at somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at God's loving kindness. With all of the trouble going on in the world, and we hear about it every day, amen? Agree, 24/7. And we have our own problems, but then we hear about everything that's going on in the world. And obviously, people are manifesting, they're unhappy, right? Okay, so this morning we're going to take a look at what the Word says about kindness, about God's loving kindness to us, and what that is. At the beginning of the week, the Lord began to speak to me about his loving kindness. And I thought, Lord, I really needed this. Because God's loving kindness will bring rest to our souls. Amen. All right, so we're going to take a look in the passage on Psalm 143, verse 8. And we're going to read that together. And Aaron, can you put the PowerPoint on the screen above your head, please? So let's read Psalm 143:8 together. And it says, cause me, you want to read it with me? Oh, everything disappeared all of a sudden. So I'll just talk a little bit. Prior to this verse, the psalmist David was crying out, answer me speedily, O Lord. Have you ever felt that way? My spirit fails, he said. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. So David knew his help came from the Lord, and he was in a difficult situation, and often we find him praying and seeking God to deliver him from his enemies. So let's take a look at this together. Psalm 143:8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift my soul to you. The ancient Hebrew word here translated loving kindness is hesed. It means mercy, kindness, and love. It also is used for faithfulness, devotion, and goodness. And this word is used over 240 times in the Old Testament. So it is an important word used in the vocabulary of theology and ethics. God's loving kindness. And that's what David is talking to. He says, Lord, cause me to hear your loving kindness. David needed a good word from the Lord. Have you ever been in that place? Lord, I just need a word from you. I need a good word from you. And perhaps David was crying out to the Lord, praying, because he thought maybe the Lord had spoken to him and he had missed it. Ever feel like that? I think we've all. So this is really a good prayer for all of us to pray. Just praying this prayer every morning. God made our ears, right? And And God's word says that we are to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. So God wants us to hear him. And because God is love, then he'll bring that kindness. His word is kindness to our minds. And in the season that we're living in, we could think a whole lot of unkind things. Had a few unkind thoughts? No? And David wanted to hear his voice, his loving kindness in the morning. And we need that in the morning. It helps direct our paths. It helps us throughout the day, seeking God in the morning and just spending a little bit of time with him in the morning gives us an assurance that God's with us during the day. And often what he shares with us in the morning, a scripture, something specific, it's what we find out later on in the day. That's exactly what we needed to hear. Anybody experience that? Would you wave so people know that, hey, this stuff is really true. This really does happen. So, and then he cried out and he said, cause me to know the way in which I should walk. So in other words, David was confessing, I don't know the way. Ever feel like that in the morning?
Yeah.
Ever feel like that at night?
Yeah.
Lord, I don't know the way, and I need God to show me the way. So we not only just need the love of God, but we need his guidance as we go through life. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. And then he goes on, he says, for in you do I trust. His trust is in God. God is our source. And often we can look to people to be our source. And the Lord warned me about this, even as we're going into this election cycle. Don't look at the government as your answer. Don't look at the government as your source. God is our source. He is sovereign over the universe. He is ruling and reigning. And regardless of who goes in that presidential office, God still is in control. Hallelujah. We lift our soul to you. So David was actually appealing to God. Appeal to heaven, right? To the very throne of God. We could appeal to heaven. And he was basing that on God's loving kindness. And he was trusting and surrendering and lifting up his soul, his mind, will, and emotions up to the Lord. Another way to paraphrase this is David prayed, Lord, I am depending on you. Please don't let me down. Speak to me and guide me. I think we've all prayed prayers similar to that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And you know what? If our soul is not up to it, sometimes our mind, our will, and our emotions just don't want to pray. We have to lift it up to the Lord. We've got to do that. The scripture says, stir up the gift that is within you. And so we have a certain responsibility. As we went silent today before the Lord, it's like it is our responsibility to stir ourselves up. Don't depend upon other people to get you emotionally in the place that you should be with God. You know, I believe one thing God has showed us during this quarantine and this COVID-19 is we depend too much upon our emotions to carry us in our walk with God. In the midst of silence, we should be able to worship God. We don't have to have a whole lot of music and noise going on to do that. Is that true? Thank you, Lord. We lift our soul up to you. In Genesis 1:26 through 27, let's read that together. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we must not have this one on the PowerPoint. Must be something I added after the PowerPoint was created. That's not the first time that's happened. But the Lord was speaking to me about how we are created in his image and after his likeness. And if God is love, then the very design that we have on the inside of us is love. We're made in his image. So our nature is love. That's our set point. That's like our default setting is love. Inside of everybody. We're created in his image. All of us are. It doesn't matter what race you come from. We're all one blood. We're all created in the image of God. Amen? So I don't know what we're fighting about. We're made in his image. And so we have a divine sense of purpose. God said he gave us love, power, and a sound mind. He didn't make us to operate in fear. And we see this fear pandemic that has come across the world. To the point, I read a story yesterday, and it was of a bus driver in France. And he was pulled off the bus and beaten because he asked people to put on a mask. He was doing his job. He was supposed to ask people as they got on the bus to wear a mask. And they ended up pulling the bus driver off the bus onto the platform, and everyone piled off the bus and beat him until he is brain dead. You can see the devil at work in this world to kill, steal, and destroy. He was only like 40-some years old. Wife is devastated. All because her husband was fulfilling his job on the bus and asked people to put on a mask. There are so many other problems in this world that we need to solve besides whether or not you're going to wear a mask. Jesus help us. I thought I might as well make it fun. So I bought a Rottweiler and an American flag mask. You might as well make it fun if you're required to wear them when you go into a store. And so we're not going to talk about our opinions, but there are opinions out there. Lots of this during this COVID, because people are being so restricted and controlled and told what to do, and that goes totally against our nature. Is that right? So we better leave that subject. Hallelujah. It's actually not normal for us, being created in God and in his image, to be stressed out, to be negative, and to operate below our potential. Remember, we're wired for love. We're created in God's image. God is not stressed out. Tell your neighbor, God is not stressed out. But with every thought you feel, and with every feeling, you make a choice. Our brain is an amazing instrument. I was doing some studies and reading through research materials done by a man named Joe Dispenza and a doctor named Dr. Carolyn Leaf. And they say our brain generates more energy or electrical impulses in one day than all the cell phones on the planet. Wow. And our soul, mind, will, and emotions works with our spirit, our unconscious mind, which is working 24/7. When you go to sleep, your spirit man is still wide awake. He doesn't sleep. But your soul goes to rest. But it's so interesting when you think about the way God created us. Of course, we should have an amazing brain, an amazing mind. And we're able to develop that. You know, they used to believe that the brain, once there was damage, you couldn't recover. But now they have proven that by thinking positive things and the right things according to God's will for your life and your body, you can actually rewire your own brain. And when you do studies by people who have done research for years, they tell you you can be your own brain surgeon. And actually, it's your responsibility to take control of your own thoughts. That's the bottom line. There is no one sitting in this room who can take responsibility for your thoughts. And what you are thinking about is what you are going to feel. And then there is a choice, an action that goes with that. So we are responsible for our own thoughts. And it's so interesting because what neuroscience is discovering, has been discovering over the last 20 years, there's been lots of research and it's just coming to the forefront, proves what the Bible says about renewing our mind, about our soul. God desires for our soul to prosper. And as our soul prospers, he desires for us to be in good health. And they're tying together emotional problems with disease. And this is what God has, his word has said all along. We're to guard our hearts. Because out of our heart flows the issues of life. So you can actually cause brain damage by having toxic, negative thinking. You destroy your own life, and what you think about is what grows. So we think, we feel, and we choose. And they're finding out the thinking, the feeling, and the choosing actually can activate genes that are in your body. The scripture says that the sins of the father are passed to the third and fourth generation, but it also says that you're not responsible, accountable for your father's sins. But what happens is when you begin to think in the same patterns, because it is in your DNA, and you begin to think about and have a fear of, say, cancer. Or my parents got late onset diabetes, and so I'm so worried I'm just going to get diabetes, late onset diabetes. And that you start talking about that, and you start telling people about that. Before you know it, people are agreeing with you. There's this power of agreement where two agree upon something, it's established, right? That's a biblical principle, and we always use that for the good when we're in prayer. But what about the negative that you're saying, and people are going, oh yeah, that's right, you'll probably get that. You just have this agreement. So what I'm just trying to say in the midst of all of this, and we're not having a lesson on the soul right now, but we need to realize we're responsible for our thoughts. We are wired for love. We have potential that God placed on the inside of us because we're created in his image and after his likeness. And so we cannot blame someone else for our problems or our situation. That blame game started with Adam and Eve, remember? Back in the garden, it's an automatic tendency. But we as people created in the image of God are responsible for what we're thinking. And it's so important that we keep our thoughts in line with love. That's our design. Some scriptures that are not on the PowerPoint you may want to write down and look at. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." Ecclesiastes 7:21 and 22, "Also, do not take to heart everything people say." Somebody say amen. "Lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." And then Ecclesiastes 7:29. Do you ever read through Ecclesiastes? It's a great book. "Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." You see, that's the problem. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. But thank God, Jesus Christ came to save the lost sheep." Amen. So we need our brains. It's a part of our body, and we should take good care of them, because our brains respond to our mind and our spirit. Like I said, neuroscience is proving that you can rewire your brain. And because, you know, science is not against God, what we find out is science proves God and how magnificent he is. So we're going to take a look at what Jesus said in... Do we have Matthew 7:16? Or maybe I'm just out of order here in my notes. Let's see. Oh, yeah, there it is on the, I see it there. Okay, so let's go back a slide and let's read our verse on the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so Galatians, there's 9 forms of spiritual fruit. Let's read it together. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So the fruit of the Spirit represents our character. It's what the world sees. The fruit of the Spirit is on display when we're out on the job, when we're interacting with people. It's not something that we can produce ourselves. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said, we'll know them by their fruit. So let's go on to the next slide. And this is by Derek Prince. I love how he put this all together. Love is the primary form of fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so he says this, "Joy is love rejoicing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love forbearing. Kindness is love serving others. Goodness is love seeking the best for others. Faithfulness is love keeping its promises. Gentleness is love ministering to the hurts of others, and self-control is love in control. So the fruit of the Spirit, if you describe that in a different way, it's the character that Jesus Christ manifests through us. We are to become more like Jesus, amen? And so as we become more like Jesus, these fruits are going to be more and more evident in our life. This fruit is what attracts people. This fruit is what people are hungry for. And so it's so important that we represent God well. There's nothing in God's design, in our divine nature, for negative thoughts and negative activity. And if we're going to live our God as our life as God designed us, then it's essential that we treat people with kindness. Kindness should just be a practical way of life. Kindness. Let's take a look at the next scripture. Let's see if I'm on track now. Yes, Luke 6, 27 to 31. Let's read it together. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So the way you treat others is the way they're going to treat you. If you will not extend grace to other people, then you will not get grace back. If you give a sharp answer all the time, you're going to get sharp answers back. And, you know, I like to be kind. I work at being kind, and I try to get doors for people, help people getting groceries, loading things in and out. I reach out. Does anyone else do that when you're out and about? Or let somebody go in front of you? It's like, I'm not in that big of a hurry, you know. It's like, and a lot of people have other things that they need to get to and do. And so it's just being kind acts. And, you know, I have found that I've reaped back so much kindness. I mean, you've heard me say, I'm holding the door for grown men. And they're just looking at me like, well, thanks, you know. But I get so much kindness back to me. It was like a girl and I were like racing to the door to get it for each other to get into a store the other day. And I know we weren't keeping the 6-foot rule. Hallelujah. And you know what? That just stops some of your kind acts when you think, I'm supposed to be 6 foot away from somebody. But if the Lord's telling you to help somebody, help somebody. The blood of Jesus over you. Let's go on to Galatians. I think that's the next one. Let's read it together. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I sent out an email this week about one of our members in need. We work towards helping our people, our family, right? That's your responsibility as you're raising a family, is you help your family. And then you help others as you can. Well, within the church, we get calls all the time of people who are in need. And our heart goes out to them. We pray for them. But what this family does is we take care of those within our own household. And if there is finances left over to help somebody else, we will help them. But the scripture tells us what? Let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's just the order of family, right? You take care of your own, and then you reach out to take care and help somebody else. And so I sent out an email. There's a couple needs that I put out there this week in an email. And so if you can help with that, we sincerely appreciate that. And remembering that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. You know, my thing is I'll extend grace. Because I want grace to come back to me. If I've got some extra funds and somebody needs help, I'll extend that out. Because you know what? Sometimes I need some help with funds. You know, the fun thing to do is like to take someone out and buy them their meal. And then just watch all of the harvest you reap back, more meals than what you can eat. There is the law of sowing and reaping, and especially with kindness, especially with love. If you've got the joy of the Lord, release that joy. And that's another reason why I dislike the mask. You can't see people smile. I think we should like make some that are clear or something. But then I thought they probably get all fogged up, you know? They do. They get all fogged up. So I don't know. We were talking last night about the face shields. And I said, well, maybe Gabe can print some of those things for us. And we have a bunch of old transparencies. Do you remember when we used to use transparencies with the words on them? Put them on the overhead projector? Maybe we could just hook those on them. I have all these old songs right in front of But don't lose heart. In due season, we're going to reap. And that is what I have thought about this ministry. We sow and sow and sow. But we are reaping. We reap and reap and reap. God has done for us above and beyond what any of us could ever expect. And yesterday, it was Lisa was out working. Doesn't the front of the church look beautiful? Let's thank the Lord for Lisa. She works tirelessly out there, and it just looks beautiful. And she shared with me yesterday that the former pastor of the church here, when it was First Baptist, his name was Pastor Gillette, and she was out working, and she said this man stopped, and he just complimented, and he said, "This building looks beautiful." And from the time we bought it from First Baptist, we've totally redone the whole exterior. If you didn't see it before, everything has been redone. And she said, "Well, thank you so much." And then he told her he's Pastor Gillette's son. And he was just so thrilled to see how beautiful the building looks. So, you know, thank God that we've been able to do what we've done. Amen. And God has been gracious to us. And we know that our labor is not in vain. God's house should look beautiful. Amen? God's house should look beautiful. But God also, let's just shift a minute here and read our next scripture. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And he will pay back what he has given. And I always share with Pastor Leonard, I said, you know what? When we start to reap back everything you've given to the poor, we'll be millionaires. Leonard has a passion for the poor. And so does this church. And one thing that I wanted to share with you, we've talked about it, but I just want to put it out there so our church that's listening online, if you don't know about it, now you do. There is an organization called International Clubhouse. And it's an organization that provides a place for people who are struggling with mental health to go and spend the day. And they teach them how to cook and how to do office things and use a computer and just how to be responsible for their lives. Many of these people have no place to go during the day. They're sitting out on our streets. You've probably seen them if you've driven downtown, just sitting on a park bench. There is no place for them to go. They find their way for meals because there's lots of places you can eat in Elkhart. You can get a good meal 3 times a day here in Elkhart from different organizations feeding the poor. But you know, we've prayed for years, Lord, what's our part? And because of our connection with Oaklawn and the faithfulness of our people to serve at the Oaklawn's Christmas party every year. How many have helped served at Oaklawn's Christmas party? That population knows us quite well, knows the building, knows the place, are very comfortable coming in and out. So anyway, the clubhouse is starting a chapter here in Elkhart. And so beginning in September, they will be launching their ministry here in our building. And so 3 to 4 days a week, they will be here, and they're using the 2 school of ministry rooms, as well as they'll be using the kitchen and the multi-purpose room to eat in. But we are looking forward to partnering with them and helping them launch this ministry. Within 6 months, the plan is that they will have their own building and they can be established in another place, but they needed a place to birth it. And it is something that is really needed in our community. There's one in Goshen, it's going really well, and so they're starting one here in September. So this is a part of lending to the poor. This is a part of giving to the poor. This population can give nothing back. I mean, they give very little back. What they can give, they're a very generous group, you know. But it's not like if they're running a business and they're a multimillionaire and they can, you know, drop a couple grand in the offering bucket. It's nothing like that. It is what we are giving to them to help them, so that they will have a place. Everybody has to know there is a secure place for you, that you are accepted, and that you can get some help somewhere. Right? I mean, that's just the way we're made. And so because we're made in God's image, God is always helping us. Is that true? God is always ready to help his children, and we should be ready to help one another. So River of Life, you're going to be a part of supporting this group. They're going to cover their own utilities, but there may be some extra cleaning and manual labor that we will end up doing. They say they're going to do it. By faith, they're going to do it. But come Saturday, it may not be done. How many knows that when you're working with a group of people... Yes, that's the truth. And so you may be called on to help a little bit, but praise God. We bless this. Bless it. Speak love over it, that it will grow and prosper here in Elkhart County and will meet the need that we have in our city. Amen. So Ephesians 4:30-32, we're going to... Just a couple more scriptures. Let's read this. It was in the opening video. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So when we live in the sphere of love, when we live the way God wired us to live, we experience joy and we have an inward peace that is not affected by our outward circumstances. Kindness does an amazing thing to you on the inside. You know, it releases hormones. It releases endorphins. It releases something on the inside of you when you do something kind for someone that just makes you feel good. Do you get those feelings when you do something good for somebody? All right. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. We cannot make it without the help of the Lord. You know, we can be anxious for nothing because Jesus Christ will hear our requests. He will work on our behalf. He's our Father. He defends us. He goes before us. Situations will work out in our lives that we are amazed by when we trust God to do the work. And He'll guard. I like this word guard. The peace of God guards our hearts and minds. And when we think of a guard, we think of someone who is locked and loaded, right? Armed, equipped, ready to protect, right? Is that what you think of? For some people, that might make them anxious to think about that. But then I thought, okay, if that makes people anxious to think about someone armed watching over them, what about the thought of an angel guarding you? Think about the angels of the Lord, because the scripture says they compass or they surround the people who fear God. And I was thinking about the story of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah was under siege. God sent one angel. Tell your neighbor, one angel. And it killed 185,000 Assyrian troops. So, the angels of the Lord, they're around us. We can find a quiet, peaceful place within. A peace that passes understanding, regardless of what's going on in the midst of everything. So we're going to close this out this morning. When the fruit of the Spirit is operating in our lives, it is something that usually we're not even consciously aware of, because it's a work of the Spirit. When people do things in the flesh, like I did this and I did that, because they want people to compliment them, they're so proud of themselves, they're so pleased with themselves, they're looking for a compliment, that's a work. They're doing the work. When God is doing the work, when the work is done by the Spirit, often you don't even realize what is flowing out of you unless somebody mentions something to you. But when the fruit of the Spirit is operating in our lives, it makes Jesus famous, right? And that's why we're here on earth, to make Jesus famous. So we're going to close with these scriptures. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's who we used to be, right? But we have a divine nature now. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. And this is what it says. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is our promise for everyone that is here. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you do that by repenting of your sins and asking him to forgive you and acknowledging that you need a Savior. And the scripture says you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And you believe that in your heart, you will be saved. We believe that Jesus Christ died for us. We believe that he rose again. We believe that the blood of Jesus will wash us and cleanse us. And it continues to cleanse us. It's not a one-time cleansing. Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us. He continues to restore us. He is our Savior. I love this. When the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. You see, going back to the very first scripture we read, David knew that he should appeal to the throne of heaven. He could do that freely because of the loving kindness of God. Even in the midst of David's adulterous affair and having the husband of Bathsheba killed, God forgave him because of his loving kindness. When he asked for forgiveness, he was forgiven. And it just shows that there's nothing in our lives that is too harsh, too bad, too evil that God cannot forgive us. If we will ask. Because of his loving kindness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message today. Thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, I pray that this word continues to work in the hearts and the spirit of each person that has listened today. Lord God, I just thank you for those that will be listening in the future. Lord God, let your word perform what it is sent out to do. Lord, bring us a peace that passes understanding and help us, Lord God, to realize our potential because you have created us in your image and we are wired to love. We are wired to be effective. We are wired to have a creative potential on the inside of us. Lord, I pray for our River of Life family that you stir up the gifts that are within them, oh God, and you help them to see their identity and their purpose is in you, and it is eternal. It is eternal. It's not going to end. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And you know, there are times that we feel like the other shoe's just going to drop, right? Have you ever felt like that? Like things are going pretty good, things are settling down, and then you have this fear or this expectation that something is going to happen. Let's get rid of that in Jesus' name. You know, God will give us warnings. He does. He gives us warnings to pray. And so we've heard a lot, if you're listening to different ministers, everyone has a different idea, a different opinion on the time and the season that we are in. But my encouragement to you is to rest in God and to trust that he is taking care of what we need to know we're going to know. And we can spend a whole lot of time trying to figure out how it's all going to come to pass, which is just a waste of time. Because have you ever figured out how something was going to happen in your mind and then you get to the event and it is totally different? And so let's use our energy and the life God has given us every day to do good, to show his love, to grow in character. God's working on our character. He'll put us in different situations to work on our character. Because the whole purpose of mankind is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so it's a process. Tell your neighbor it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. And the scripture said, he who endures to the end, right? And if you don't grow weary in doing good, you're going to reap a harvest. So tell your neighbor, don't grow weary. Because you're going to reap a harvest. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise.